fantastic. Okay, 2 minutes and 7 seconds past the wonderful time of 5 o'clock. Or indeed, in Nashville, the time is...
Oh, it's 11:02.
It's that kind of spontaneity that always impresses us. Exactly.
The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
And I know, Darren, your time spent doing wonderful, magical filming of science fiction stuff and indeed attending conventions and various other things up and down the land, you've missed the regular weekly slots with Nashville's very own Cameron Tilbury, haven't you?
Oh, totally, totally. My life is now becoming complete once again.
See, Cameron, no pressure, but that's the word of the Scalesmeister. Yeah. You know, Daz Scales, he tells it as it is. It's just possibly the reason he's back on the program, really. So great stuff on that particular aspect. But I'm confused, Cameron, I have to say. I mean, people have said it for years, really. I'm confused about the title of the next little tune. Because in Britain, when people say, and I'm not being sexist at all here, so I'm putting a little proviso here, when people say, you run like a girl. It can be. I mean, Darren, is that you run like a girl?
I mean, well, I don't. I mean, I can. I mean, if you're asking, it's a small studio. I mean,
clearly, if you're Jessica Ennis, then it's a darn good run in every sense of the word. But I'm confused with respect to what we're going to listen to now, even though, given it's a MapleStar Music Media Choice selection, Cameron, I know you're going to put our minds at ease.
Yeah. To be perfectly honest, I had never heard of this lady until a couple of weeks ago, and she was the headliner and the host of Digital Rodeo's DRX Artist Showcase that's held here every month at Third and Lindsley in Nashville. And she blew me away, and I thought, wow, she's got some great songs. So I did a little digging, found out a little bit more about her, and said, hey, can we feature one of your songs? And she said, yeah, that'd be great. And other stuff too, but had nothing to do with that. So I thought this would be a great idea to introduce our listeners to her. Her name is Myla Mason, and if the name's not familiar, she's been associated with some big names. Blake Mevis of George Strait, Keith Whitley fame. She was discovered as a songwriter. Signed to Atlantic Records in 1996. Her album, That's Enough of That, came out in 1997. Had her signature song, Dark Horse, some other songs there too. She's worked as a producer, she's worked as a songwriter, and this song is her singing, and it's all the way up the AC charts here in the U.S., and it's just now starting to cross over country. I think it's a really cool song. It's called Run Like a Girl. This is Myla Mason on Siren FM.
Just say that out loud. So what if I did? You're a liar and a cheat. There ain't gonna be no cheating on me now. I'm just telling you like it is. Did I just say it out loud?
And wouldn't you know it, Cameron, just when you might want to find out the whole answer of running like a girl, not a single female in the studio. Astounding. Never mind. Darren, what did you make of Myla Mason and Run Like a Girl?
Yeah, it was okay. I could drive to that quite nicely. I was struggling to tell the difference between the verse and the chorus bit. And I have to be honest, I was kind of listening out for the when's she going to say run like a girl bit.
Which but she did.
She did.
Several times.
Yes.
And that was
and it
great,
built up each time, so it was nice.
So I think we put it in the field of possibly one that, which might grow on us. But not at this moment in time. Myla, that doesn't mean that we're against it. It's going to be wonderful. No. You know, we'd love to feature on the show. and obviously, we'll focus on that. In fact, I'm so impressed. Normally, we have this feature called the Drive Time Disc, Cameron, which you might have missed if you haven't been catching up on the podcast, where effectively we select, or we provide, thanks to the wondrousness that is Ed Wellman, a particular tune that's selected for us. And this week, featured every day on the Drive Time period, normally just after 5 o'clock, except on Wednesdays, when obviously it's your slot, Cameron. We would not enter into that. Yeah. We've got a tune by Uncle Frank entitled Maximum Respect. This is actually released on the 6th of November this year, and it's the latest single from Uncle Frank from their debut album, Smiles for Miles, released via MITA Records. Uncle Frank consists of multi-instrumentalists and producer Frank Benbini, drummer of the Fun-Loving Criminals, and Naeem Kortasi. The album was mixed by Grammy Award-winning producer Tim Latham, and is sourced from the duo's incredible love for music and diverse record collections. Cameron, would you stay online to give us your respect and thoughts on Uncle Frank and Maximum Respect?
Sure, let's do it.
Maximum respect. You gotta live with maximum.
I should never actually take presenter privilege too far and obviously come out of that saying, fantastic, great, smashing, marvellous. I was always back in the late 70s, early 80s, listening to Maximum Respect with Uncle Frank. Darren, what did you make of Uncle Frank with Maximum Respect?
Well, I liked it. It was very 80s, so it's like kind of the best song I never heard of from that time. So pretty cool from my point of view.
Released 6th of November, just after Bonfire Day. I'm thinking maybe Cameron, a mashup between MapleStar Music and Media, Uncle Frank meets Michael Myla Mason. Maybe not. Oh, maybe that's just fantasy.
Yeah. That when I grew up, we just call that disco.
Yeah.
And I had a T-shirt that said "Disco sucks" on it that I wore to high school. All the time, so.
Cameron, please, surely it's D-I-S-C-O. It's a European thing. Yeah. It's A-D-C, delightful, C-I, incredible, C-S, super. No, it's, do you remember D-I-S-C-O? I think it was Ottawa. Yeah. Ottawa. Anyway, that's brought us to the end of this week's MapleStar Music and Media. Fantastic, sensational, country meets disco slot. We might. It's a pilot.
Now I'm gonna tease you for next week's single because it's a brand new song. It's being released to iTunes on Friday. Uh-huh. We featured them before. The duo is called Moonlight Social. They're from Austin, Texas. They've got a brand new song and video releasing Friday, and it's a song they co-wrote with Jolea. So we're really looking forward to that. Yeah. That'll be our song next week.
Anticipation goes through the roof already. Darren, can you remember the last two questions, which we normally bowl out to people at this time? Hasn't got a clue. Yeah, never mind. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Cameron Tilbury?
Yes,
good.
I have.
Good,
you.
That's fine. That's all right. I suddenly lost the power of speech. I take it you will return?
We'll be back next week.
Exactly. And for disco lovers the world over, yes, it's Womack and Womack.
If you've battled the supernatural forces of evil as Jeannie Hopkirk, helped the saint to vanquish villains and danced on the Riviera with Tony Curtis and Roger Moore, being a regular midweek drive correspondent from California is the clear way forward. I'm Annette Andre, and I'd like to congratulate you for choosing this station and podcast.
Absolutely. When you get the endorsement of Annette Andre, it's a bit like by seal of royal approval, Darren. every sense of the word. You know, it's like Her Majesty has come over from Australia and actually said, it's all right. You've made the right choice in listening to this podcast.
Honoured.
I like that. You can go on and on saying things like that.
Well, after last week when the title of your autobiography was finally revealed, would you like to unveil it one more time, Annette, because it's such a classic? It is?
Okay. It's Rapes, Rides and Rescues, My Life Upon This Wicked Stage.
Sensational.
Do you know what Rapes, Rides and Rescues mean?
I dread to ask, but I'm going to in any case.
Okay, well, they were types of music piano players, you know, had to know about to be hired to play for silent films.
Every day's learning day.
Yes, they had to know about the rapes and the rides and the rescues. They had to play, and so they had to know all those pieces of music. It's good, isn't it?
It's resonating and will continue to resonate into the 22nd century, let alone the 21st. You know, that's the classic line. Anyway, what are you going to share with us for the September audio missive from California, Annette?
Well, I just thought you'd like to know I'm alive and well and living in the past.
Nice. We always wondered where those time travellers were going, and now we know.
So, the past is a foreign country. They do things differently there. I read this intriguing, if mystifying, concept somewhere in my mid-teens, and it's stayed with me ever since. In fact, I open the memoir that I'm writing with this quote. Its origin and author lost to memory, I'm sorry to say. And there's the rub. That all-forgiving, tripping-off-your-tongue excuse, lost to memory. How often have you said, wait, don't tell me, when the answer to a question hovers agonizingly on the tip of you-know-what, and often stubbornly stays there. But where is there? What is there? For the past 2 years, I've been spending quite a bit of time there. Writing the story of your life requires living it in reverse, recalling memory after memory to give form and substance to this supreme act of egotism. Let me give you an example of what I've had to contend with almost on a daily basis. Now, this from the memoir. It didn't take more than a day or two of my outlining the structure of this epic for me to realize just how relevant was that exotic-sounding message from my teen years. Not only did I discover how true it was that the past is alien territory, but I was astonished to learn that the inhabitants of my memory appeared to have minds of their own, and even more disturbing, they refused to behave and play by the Marquess of Queensbury rules. I was drawing up a list of the people who were important in my life at each of its stages, when I became aware that I was landlord to a menagerie of pushy and unruly tenants lodged cheek by jowl in my mind. It was as if I were running a theatrical boarding house, and each of the residents, from the famous to the obscure, insisted that they belonged not only at head of table, but along with the second helping of the creamed onions, they deserved a chapter of their own in my book. Well, this was no joke. All too often, and at the most inappropriate times, I'd suddenly hear, for instance, a man's voice invade my mind and in a Butlins-like tannoy echo say, "Hello, Annette, every time you smile, you should thank me." Then, quick as a flash of summer lightning, the dentist my mother had taken me to when I was 6 or 7 made his appearance wearing a lunatic grin and a long white coat, clearly intent on elbowing his way into posterity. And so it went, and still goes, a seemingly infinite number of memories cascading about helter-skelter, like ping-pong balls dancing madly in a lottery tumbler. Just the other day, when I was in the shower, thinking of nothing weightier than should it be crumpets or ciabatta toast for breakfast, I distinctly heard the clip-clop of a horse approaching as if from a distance. Somehow, I instantly knew what would come next, and it did, sung out in a thick Irish accent. "Rags for cash! Cash for old clothes!" The horse's hooves and the wizened old man atop his dilapidated cart, sounding exactly as they had rounding the corner of Heyburn Avenue and turning into my street, now distant by thousands of miles and 70 years. How is this possible? I've read that the boffins haven't the faintest what memory is or where it comes from, and why do we humans manufacture it? They know the brain has definite areas that seem to trigger and store memory, but there's nothing on record telling us how or where a memory is produced. Although the brain is the prime suspect in this mystery, that seems to me a bit like giving a thumbs up when asked where heaven is. Some questions just beg for an easy fit. Oliver Sacks, the British-born neurologist who died a few weeks ago, after spending a lifetime investigating and brilliantly writing about that quirky grey blob that's cradled atop our heads, made famous the man married to the same woman for 50 years who one day mistook his wife for a hat. That evening she was Alice, but come morning she was a fedora. And there was another of Sachs's patients, a famous pianist and composer who awoke one day and discovered that his memory had wiped clean the faces of everyone he knew and replaced them with the written scores of musical compositions. My heart went out to this unfortunate fellow, but it didn't take me long to imagine him at a cocktail party. Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet in a corner, laughing at a joke told by Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. I've also discovered in writing the memoir that memory can be an annoyingly irresponsible narrator. And was it on a Spanish beach where I sat tongue-tied while Deborah Kerr, with one gin and tonic too many, dished the dirt about actor-director John Huston? Or was that Anita Ekberg in a Roman trattoria with cognac spritzers the lubricant? Ah, there's just simply too much to remember. But one memory I can attest to, which is still painful, was opening night of The Collector at the Bush Theatre. My co-star playing Clegg, the unhinged young man who kidnaps Miranda, began drinking heavily the last week of rehearsals, and by opening night was uncontrollably aggressive in his scenes with me. In a key bit of business, he was to grab my arm and fling me onto the bed upstage. Instead, he punched me squarely on the side of my face, the force of the blow catapulting me a good 10 feet onto the bed, daggers of light flooding my brain before I passed out. I don't know how long I was unconscious, but I clearly recall, before the blow, looking at a round-faced man with a small moustache seated in the second row. When I came to, I remembered two things. Miraculously, I was on my feet, saying my lines with the correct volume of controlled anger and intensity, and at the same time looking at the portly man in the second row and wondering what Oliver Hardy was doing at the Bush Theatre without Stan Laurel. Writing about myself every day has been a fascinating experience. Dreadfully painful at times, or mortifying now and then, and with just enough self-congratulation to keep me going. As the pages accumulate and events and people get ticked off the to-do list, I become acutely aware of how much my life has been lived in memory, looking over my shoulder in judgment of the past or as a safety net to the future. There was a time when I was that young that I could still touch my yesterdays with the left hand. The concept that one day I'd have a past that would stretch out longer than my future never entered my thoughts. It's a sobering prospect, but as I've discovered in the act of writing, a life is lived as a film script is broken down into a schedule the director calls day out of days board. Lived one day at a time, with all the necessary bits and pieces on hand to do the job properly, and a plan for tomorrow in the sure and certain hope that there will be one. There you go, that's it.
Phenomenal and thought-provoking as ever. Darren, your thoughts on that little line? I hadn't realised, actually, Annette, that you could have gone into a career as a stunt woman in terms of some of those activities on stage. Really outrageous.
Believe me, there were some, yes.
health and safety these days, wreck all sorts of things like that. Anyway, Darren.
No, I was listening to it first of all, going, okay, so this happened, then this happened, this happened. And then more and more as the stories kept going on, I was thinking, wow, there's so many things here. And then that's exactly where you then came into it. You start that reflection of all those stories and to think that, you know, that everybody has these stories. Yeah. I think everybody should be writing an autobiography at some point and what you can then take forward. Fantastic.
Absolutely, and if for no other reason than to sort of, in a way, find yourself through it.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes you think, doesn't it? Definitely.
Yeah. It gives you a chance to explore the dark places, wonder why, either discard or take them on board. I mean, it's an interesting experience. Not easy.
No.
Not easy.
No, not at all. But there must be some good times too.
Sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good fun sometimes.
Darren, of course, we haven't mentioned that you are a film director. And it has to be said in it that Darren has produced a movie extraordinaire, which actually passes muster, and I will say this quite deliberately, with a mega bucks Hollywood movie. It's called The Drift. And astoundingly, he shot it in Lincolnshire, put together for a budget. It did all sorts of other scenario things from that point of view, but he's part of the whole new breed of young up-and-coming film directors. So,
fantastic. Give me his name again. Sorry.
That would be Darren Scales. And, of course, we connected Shane Rimmer, the voice of Scott Tracy, who appeared in your latest movie, Darren. So
yep.
That's good
he
stuff
was in
there.
Dark Wave, Edge of the Storm.
There must surely be a time when Annette Andre is over this side of the Atlantic. You can also book her for another screen appearance in terms of this whole system.
Absolutely. Well,
I'd love that. I would so love that.
Yep. See, the campaign to get Annette on the big screen is coming ever closer. Yep. That's like the classic line.
Another chapter for your book.
Yes, exactly.
Terrific. And when will this movie be out? Is it out?
Well, The Drift is already out. Yeah, that's available now. And then the next one, Dark Wage of the Storm, which is a film short continuing from The Drift, that's going to be out in early 2016.
So things
continue. Wonderful. On that basis. That's terrific. Well, I'm probably coming over in March, April, May. So.
We'll have a screening. We'll have
exactly.
to have a screening.
Ready.
Absolutely. We'll bring Shane up. We'll have a ball.
A celebrity screening. That's the important thing.
Fabulous.
Darren, just share for the benefit of Annette and the listener, of course, your role, because it's moved from the RAF, from RAF Waddington to a whole heap of other things, and, of course, your passion for making films, which has always been there.
Well, yeah, I've been making films for about 20 years. I was in the RAF as well, also for 20 years, and trying to sort of balance both things.
Goodness me, wow.
Yeah, it was good fun. So I did some stuff within the Air Force filming-wise, obviously did the Air Force stuff too. And then the filming kind of took over, got more and more interested in that. So starting from sort of spoofs and science fiction, we kind of branched out, and now we're making our own independent science fiction films. We've managed to make a lot of friends along the way who I've obviously keep calling back and favours and stuff. So we've got friends in London at Pinewood and now in the, you know, on the acting side as well. So it's moving forward really, really nice to be able to generate our own stories,
absolutely.
You know, science fiction especially, which is great. And now I also I'm here at the university as well, doing a few lectures here and there too. So again, building up friends and getting some of the students involved. The last production we did in the summertime with Shane and Natalie Cox from Star Wars, Kingdom of Heaven, we got the students involved too. You know, the next generation of filmmakers, they're coming on and playing with us as well. So it's great, both on and off camera. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I applaud that. I really do. I think it's absolutely wonderful. I hope I can meet you at some point. You sound wonderful.
Oh, looking forward to it, definitely. The pleasure will be mine.
It's just part of the magical scenario. See, I like to view it as the Annette Andre, Arthur Weingarten inspiring aspect of the whole thing. You keep on going. That's the important thing, and just work on it.
Absolutely, it certainly is.
Annette, it's been a pleasure as ever for the September audio missive. I take it all's gone well from the good
self.
Yes, so we've had texts that come through from Jessica, who said she apologises for being late. That's Jessica Ward. Emma, if you're wondering where Emma Tinson is, she's actually currently doing a work placement with another radio station. I think it's BBC Radio Surrey. It's a different, some strange thing.
Some other place.
Yeah, she's down in the home counties somewhere. You know, very strange. Annette, I know you will be devastated if Australia don't beat England in the Rugby World Cup, so you know, we won't mention the Rugby World Cup, really.
Yes, I'll be really devastated. Is that what they're doing?
I know. It's a whole sort of thing. But I take it you will return in November for another classic audio missive in the wonderful...
What's happened to October?
Do you know, you're quite right. Yeah, absolutely. You see, there we are. I was
coming.
To...
I mean, the clocks go back, but not by that much. I mean...
You see, this is what comes of being automatic. I realised we were in the last ever Wednesday of September 2015, and I decided to miss out October completely.
Yeah, forward planning.
You certainly did. Yeah.
I'll just rewind that.
Hey, fuck up.
Yeah,
fuck
exactly.
Up.
Precisely.
We should be looking at your memory, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's more to read Oliver Sacks.
Yeah. Well...
Unless you write that book,
is that a hat in front of me? No, it's a microphone. Oh, well, never mind. Yeah. Annette, you will be back with us in October.
I will.
Yay!
Time. If you could just give me a little rain.
started off the show with Run Like a Girl. Now that's Feet Don't Fail Me Now. See what we did there, Darren? You see the connection?
It's all fitting into place. The planets are aligning. That red moon was there for a reason, clearly.
Exactly. Yeah. Not the end of the Earth, just getting the coordination together for the midweek drive.
Yeah.
Jessica Waters joined us. How are you, Jessica?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Now, the really exciting thing is, I mean, can you get more exciting than Annette Andre in California? Well, you can, because the singer and creator behind Feet Don't Fail Me Now is online at present. It's Jake Morley. Jake, how are you?
I'm terrific. How are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Great to connect with you once more and celebrate the magic that is Jake Morley, because it's Morley magic, every sense of the word. And it's just going from strength to strength. I mean, we're in an era where, and I have to say, a couple of weeks' time, we will be featuring somebody who's taking part in the X Factor. Sorry, I've omitted it.
Every time I do a gig, I get someone saying, "Oh, have you thought about going on?"
Yeah,
that
no, no, don't, please, please don't. You know,
I'm like, "Oh, wow, that's the first time I've ever thought of that." What a novel idea!
No, the band in question, they're an all girl band from Italian Contis, and they're called Mon Ami. Okay, so they've obviously gone for the French market there. I don't know how. I mean, they'll be fine. Their agent has worked with us before, so that's all right. Besides, you know, at the end of the day, they still don't have Tony McDonough from Manila PR on the case, and that's the acid test, you know. So whoa,
talent will out though. Whatever name you've got, you know,
it will.
That's the hope anyway. If you're talented, if you believe in, you know, if you're working hard and if you love what you do, then you know you've got a chance.
When you were at Mill Hill County High School in northwest London, curious. Probably the one thing I have in common. I also went to Mill Hill School, but it was in Middlesbrough. It was amazing, you know.
Oh no way, really?
No,
maybe it was a franchise.
A chain of schools. You want fries with that education? Yeah.
It's a possibility. It was a converted farmhouse. Now it's a housing estate. But never mind. You know, it was much fun at the time. But in terms of that, were you sort of, when you were playing that guitar, you picked up that whole sort of thing? Did you sort of think, yeah, I'm going to go to bring a new literary theme to magical music, and I'm going to talk about allegories and metaphors and Feet Not Failing Me Now, etc.? Or was it just a case of, well, it all fits, the music and the words?
When that period of time in your life especially in your teens, I think music sort of speaks to you in a certain way. It defines, it's all wrapped up in your sort of self-development and exploration of life. And for me growing up, definitely it was music was a central feature of, you know, everything that I experienced felt like it was seen through that prism, and and just felt alive with it. So it's couldn't put it down, really, after I grew up.
It's the way forward.
So here I am.
Now, in previous editions of the Midweek Drive, Jessica Ward has been outed as a chorister who was once taught to sing in New Zealand Elvis Presley, "I Can't Help Falling in Love with You." Which, you know, we're still waiting for her to do an a cappella version. I don't know if you're ready now, you're in level two in your journalism degree, but, you know, it's...
We'll compete with that.
Of course you can, Jake. This is part of my grand scheme, you know, Jake Morley and Jessica Ward. It's going to work. But to take us around to that, there's a new single on the horizon, folks. Yes! A new Jake Morley single is on the horizon, and it is Allegorical House.
Yeah.
Now, Jake, would you be kind enough to stay with us whilst we actually have 2 minutes and 51 seconds of sheer wonderment?
Yes, I'd be delighted.
Which I'm going to invite you to introduce yourself. So go, Jake, introduce yourself, singing genius stuff.
Well, my name's Jake Morley. This song is called Allegorical House. I hope you enjoy it.
An allegorical house. There upon the door I saw a sign. It was my name on the door. I got a sign, I got my name on the door. Hung my dreams on the walls. Hung my dreams on the walls. I'm moving in. I'm moving in. I'm moving in. I'm moving in.
I think that deserves a round of applause. Go! Yay! And we're still watching the video of the allegorical house, because I was showing you, Daz, that's an allegorical house.
Right.
Look,
yeah.
I mean, you said it's a very 70s pen.
Yes, I noticed.
Genius,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. No!
Love it. You should have one of those. I bent my pen like the first day I got it. It was just bad memories.
So many pens were auditioned for that pen. there were thousands upon thousands, and
the pens that gave their nibs for that particular
now
video.
Now he's taking the bic.
These are the kind of classic guys. You know, I'll paint the fence. I'll tend to the whole thing. Scrub it roof through. That is genius at work, Jessica, clearly. Yeah, it's genius. Anyway, questions from your good self, Jessica?
Well, I probably already know the answer, but we were talking about it last week. What is more important, the music or is it the words?
The words are the music. Which is more important to you, Jake, Wally?
Whoever you ask, you get a different answer to this question. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. Some people just, it's the lyrics, some people it's the music. For me, it's... I can't differentiate between the two. They're both kind of form part of kind of what everything that you want to say. I do spend way more time on the lyrics, though. I think it's really the heart of the song, probably for me, is the lyrics, because that's what's I guess gives in many ways the song's meaning as to kind of what they're about, what they're trying to communicate. So I guess I'd have to say the lyrics have it for me.
Well, you've gone allegorical house. You could do metaphorical mansion next. You could actually keep the literary thing going.
Possibilities.
Is that science fiction's metaphor?
If I steal that, do I have to pay you like royalties? Oh,
well, you do now.
We can come to some arrangement. A free gig in the Siren Studios. That'd be fine.
That'd be awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. So you're on the road in October, 4th of October, obviously in Manchester, at the Castle at 7:30. Yep. In York. The basement in York. They have a basement in York. Yep. They do. Yeah, it's the 5th of October. The Rocking Chair in Sheffield on the 7th of October. The Moon Club in Cardiff on the 8th of October. And Bristol in the 9th of October as well. So great stuff as far as that's concerned. Yeah. Plus, of course, Exeter, Winchester, Brighton. And finally, those folk in London get to see their boy from Mill Hill back in town again at St Pancras Old Church on the 21st of October before you wing over to Ipswich on the 23rd of October.
That's right, yeah. It's been a couple of years since I have done a proper UK tour like this, and it's so exciting to be back on the road again.
Jake, in the immortal words of the One Stop Record Shop, when I heard that he was back with a new single, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was that excited. These are the kind of things. And I mean, had you appreciated the magic that was Morley Dares before this evening?
No, this is the first time. It was like, I was just saying, listen to that song. It's just so upbeat. It just makes me want to, go out and do something, either have a barbecue, be with friends or something like that. It's a real sort of, I don't know if that's the meaning of the song or whatever. It's the first time I heard of it, but, it makes you want to go and do something. So that's got to be good.
I mean, it's not that we're dissing the earlier tracks in the show, but actually from the moment Feet Don't Fail Me Now came on and then we went into Allegorical House, you've just put brightness across the airwaves. I can sense
that's wonderful kind of you to say.
Jessica, any other questions or thoughts?
Jessica, well,
Jake, you see what I did there? Jake and Jessica.
There we go, alliteration. Nice, nicely done. I know it's like a long kind of future for you because you've got so much to do with all your tours.
Well, it will be. I mean, he's not going to end it all.
I know. But what are you thinking of doing afterwards, like after all your tours? Have you kind of thought of anything?
Well, I'm just about to put a record out. It's actually going out to, I've been working with Pledge Music to get, get my what will be my second album out to my fans. And then next year I'll be sort of continuing to release that and do some more tour dates. What I'd love to do really is play the album through live with like a 9-piece band. I'd love to do, like a string section and a 20-piece choir in the Albert Hall or something. So next year it'd be nice just to find somewhere, obviously not the Albert Hall, probably like the the Dog and Duck, but wherever we can, and just play this album through with a really, really big kind of band. I would absolutely love to do that.
In the words of Acoustic Magazine, Morley is a true original. BBC introducing a show stealer, and Tom Robinson from Six Music, extraordinary. I mean, Janice Long, I'm not quite sure with Janice, because her line, "He is certainly something else," Janice can mean anything on that basis, and I just, it's certainly something else. And she does a late night
sounds
show.
Like it,
so,
it sounds like it should be a compliment. But,
you never know.
I'm going to take it as a compliment.
I would, exactly, in the spirit of. Of course, facebook.com/JakeMorley Music, jakemorley.com, twitter.com/JakeMorley. Ways of keeping in touch with the whole thing. Jake, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks very much.
So the next critical question is what, Jessica?
Will we be hearing from you soon? Yeah,
will you come back, Jake? Will you return?
Oh, or have
we
scared
to.
You?
I'd love to. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I mean, it's I'm kind of passing not quite up your way, not on this tour, but I'll be touring again in the spring.
We'll sort that out, and we'll keep us appraised with respect to the albums.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Jake Morley.
If the offer's there, I'd love to take you up on it.
The offer is definitely there. Darren Scales is witness to. We've got the legal people in there. They're all sorted.
It's all signed up now. It's all signed.
Minutes to 6 o'clock, and the magical world of Rick Okasek, the Emotion in Motion. Much can be said about our next guest making her debut on the production. After a couple of false starts, we can finally welcome that ace UK songstress extraordinaire. It is, of course, the wonderful, fantastic individual, Janine Barry. How are you, Janine?
I'm very well. Thank you so much. That was a nice introduction.
Well, we'd like to progress from there. You are a rising UK country artist who also spent your formative years in Germany, spending evenings with your grandmother, listening to a style of music you just couldn't hear on the radio. Is this true?
Well, yes. Yes, it is true. I did listen, well, it was mainly on the TV rather than the radio, maybe, more on TV. But, you know, I heard loads of music over there. Well, not loads, but, you know, I've heard songs, you know, Leanne Rimes or things like that coming over. But not really realising, you know, this is country music now.
And then, of course, under the vocal tutorage of a certain David Lee Brewer, who's actually hosted the likes of Beyoncé and Kelly Rowland and a couple of other, I mean, you know, wannabe Janine people are actually there, suddenly you've defined that country music is for you.
Yes, well, I mean, he was the first person to actually say, oh, wow, a country singer, yay. You know, I don't have a country singer in as one of my students at the moment, and he was really excited. I was like, what? Country singer? What do you mean? And that was kind of the first time that I actually realized it, you know, when I thought, okay, wow, that's what it is. I always thought, you said it the other day to someone who asked, and I said, you know, I always thought that there was just something wrong with me, maybe, because I did sound different than all the other singers. You know,
no, that's called talent, Janine. It's called talent. You know? That's the key thing. You know, there are lots of folk out there who like to sound all the same, but at the end of the day, they're wannabes. You are original. That's the important thing.
Well, thank you very much. They were very talented too. They were just all, you know, more pop and R&B, and because I didn't sound like them, I just felt like, wow, what's the deal with me? You know, am I not a good singer, or what's happening here? And I got loads of comments from other people, you know, not understanding why my voice was the way it was. And they were just like, yeah, well, you've got a bit of a, you know, a different voice and you sound different. And at that point, I didn't realize it was a good thing. But obviously now I'm very, very happy doing what I do.
It's like a Disney movie in action, really. The life and times of Janine Barry. She didn't realize she was talented, and now it's all coming out. It's wonderful times. Genius. quick introductions for yourself, Janine, to our co-presenters in the studio. We have ace film director Darren Scales.
Hi, Janine.
And we also have level 2 undergraduate and indeed soon to be naturalised UK citizen. Yeah, that's right. She's originally from New Zealand, but we're claiming her as one of our own. That would be Jessica Ward.
Hello.
Hi.
So there you have it. Now, I've got questions which will be throwing at you, but I feel it's time to actually go for a little touch of Janine Barry musical wonderment. So, Janine, would you like to introduce the magicness that is yourself singing Off the Hook in your own time?
Well, You want me to just introduce it to you this way?
I think so. I mean, let's face it. Yeah, just go with it, girl, and then we'll be back with you in about 3.5 minutes from the whole time. So launch it, Janine, like a ship.
All right. This is my brand new song, Off the Hook, from my second EP, Off the Hook, which I recorded in Nashville this year. Hope you enjoy.
Midweek Drive showcase of spectacular stuff. Janine Barry, Off the Hook. But what did Darren Scales make of Off the Hook? First time you heard it.
That was awesome. Absolutely brilliant. I'm just saying, that was absolutely fantastic. You have a fan in me.
Oh, thank you.
With a capital AWESOM, I'll double that fan. Sensational there. Jessica Ward, what do you say?
I thought it was amazing. I loved the abrupt start. That was just fantastic. Yeah. And you've got such a nice voice. And I love how I can hear your German accent slightly as well. It's really nice.
Yeah, mein Damen. I mentioned, is it Askezeichnet? Sorry, just a horror German fan. What the hey? Yeah. Very, very good. A round of applause.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yay. Oh, that was so sweet. Thank you.
So, Janine, where do we go from here? I mean, we've just actually heard Penny Evans, who's listening to the Midweek Drive, because finally she's got her computer sorted out. She used to have listen to the show via her Windows XP 2000. It went extinct. But she's got a wonderful computer now that doesn't crash anymore. Isn't that nice, Darren, that, you know, our listener can tune in there?
Oh, yeah. The lengths they'll go to, it's amazing. Yeah.
An updated computer. Brilliant stuff.
I
see that tour dates are coming up. Of course, 22nd of October, you're at the Garage in Highbury. Yeah. So you're doing your magical stuff out there. The Troubadour in London, of course, on the 10th of November. And then you're off to Liverpool for the Bumper, 19th of November. And an evening of country in Poole. Really? Poole, Dorset, an evening of country, on the 25th of November. So it's all go there, and presumably people will be able to purchase your EP as well through the usual channels.
Yes, absolutely. iTunes, Google Play. I'll have some CDs at the shows as well if anybody wants to come out, especially on the 22nd of October in London. There will be a few more shows that I'll be putting up soon. But yeah, you can purchase the CD wherever you normally purchase music.
Exactly. Marvellous. I do like the blog entry that you gave when you released Off the Hook, of course, which Joa launches with, "I'm so hyped up, I just can't wait to hear what you all think of." And now you've heard. So there we are.
I was so excited. I still am. It was such an honour to record the EP in Nashville. It was a massive dream for me.
Not sure of the health and safety issue of the photograph there, because it does look as though you're falling into the main street in Nashville. So.
It was good.
You know, hopefully you landed on the man as opposed to vice versa, because Lord knows what could have happened. You could have done all sorts of injuries there. It's different line down. Mind you, the Czech trousers are very nice.
Yeah, I really like them.
Janine, two final questions for today. First of all, have you had a reasonably okay intro? Have you enjoyed your debut on the show this evening?
Absolutely. You guys are so sweet. It was very fun. That was very nice. Thanks so much.
So the next critical question is, can we look forward to featuring you again in the near future? Will you keep us updated of what's happening, and hopefully we can do the magic of Mel and various other fine folk feature you on the Midweek Drive as a semi-regular contributor? Will you be back with us again soon?
Most definitely.
Hurrah! Most definitely. Up next, hopefully, the director and executive producer of Star Trek Equinox, that'll be Eric Ninehouse.